Appreciate y'all having me. I will say, since the dawn of man, payments have driven the business model. So when you carried around gold or shekels, it was heavy and you went to a central marketplace to spend your time. As gold and shekels were replaced by a banknote in 1600s, that marketplace expanded. Checks made it even easier. Once we got credit cards, the business model further changed when we ushered in e-commerce. As we move to tokenization, it further ushers in a major change. And so at South State Bank, we see everything as a payment. Everything, your education, your meal coming up at lunch, your clothes, your travel here, everything, this hotel starts with a payment. And so as you look ahead, you look at what would happen if we start to tokenize the world. So at South State, we're at a pilot. We have a tokenized deposit account. That means that you open up an account almost immediately. You can now access the blockchain, which with its immutability, with its speed 24/7. We can now do things to find anybody on the planet and send them value and a message at the same time. One of the advantages is that using a deposit token or using a stable coin, we can now transact below a dollar. The other aspect is we can now use the blockchain for our core system, and we're not limited to anything that our current core has. So like trading off, exchanging payments off hours, or having a smart contract, or having a payment below a dollar, a nano payment or a micro payment, it now changes the face of commerce. And so as we think this through, we see commerce changing in the fact that if you're a content provider or you're another agent and you need a hundredth or a thousandth of a cent, we can now pay you efficiently. Right now, every time you write a check, God forbid you should write a check, but it costs the bank about $5 to $9 a check. It's free to you, but it costs the bank. Now, if you want to send a wire, that wire costs us about $12. If you want to send an ACH payment, that ACH payment costs us about 40 cents. If you want to send a Zelle, Zelle costs us about 60 to 90 cents, somewhere in that range all in. When we talk about an instant payment, our cheapest form of payment, that is on the order of about 12 to 15 cents of the bank's cost. Now, once we get into tokenization, that goes to less than a penny. And so we can set up an account and we could exchange a payment for less than a penny. That opens up a whole frictionless world. As we think this through, and we now have the confluence of events with AI and agentic AI, that means that obviously that agent can now be have some self-agency and can transact on its own or on behalf of a human or on behalf of a company, behalf of a major corporation. So as I came here, I booked both my travel and my plane, kicking off an agent, knowing all my preferences, knowing what seat I like, booking on United to get here. If you run that,
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 VCN20210130。
Forward, that has some interesting implications for retail execution in that now we can make that agent available both from the bank side, but also from our customer side and also from the consumer side or user side. So if you're a CFO at a company, you can now have an agent that's either, Claude code agnostic across your platform or embedded into your ERP system, call it QuickBooks, to kick off a whole bunch of processes that may include reconciliation and commerce. On the bank side, I also have a set of agents that can now interact with the customer's agent. Our merchants, our customers can also be enabled either through us, a bank, or on their own or through a third party, but now that can kick off a bunch of agents. So whether you're ordering, we have a customer, it's a construction company that orders cranes and Germany makes the best cranes. So you see those tall skyscraper building cranes. Those all come from Germany, requires a bunch of different payments of parts and transportation to get it there. Also includes, you know, cross-border payments as well, all handled done by an agent. As we think this through, a couple things become evident, that not only do we have to prepare for these micropayments, that if you do produce a content, piece of content, if you're, you know, the New York Times, or if you're a influencer and you have content, that you may want to get paid a half cent every time a page view occurs, that agent can take care of that. But also, there's a concept of discoverability, that as you think where that agent plays, for a brief moment there, probably 4 or 5 months ago, it was thought that everything was going to be embedded into ChatGPT or Perplexity or Anthropic, that it was going to handle the entire checkout process for you. We have a little different opinion that that may happen, but that's not as efficient as enabling an agent to interact with any checkout process. And what happens is that as a consumer, as a business, when you kick off an agent, you also have this sense of discovery. So when the mobile phone first came out, while everyone assumed it was going to usher in a new age of commerce, first what it did is helped in research discovery, that top of the funnel sales process that we see. Agents, if you look at how people are using agents now and how companies are using agents, it's about the same thing. They mostly use it first for research and then for commerce. That means that whatever agents that we create needs to be thinking discovery first. So it needs to go out either to our customers or even to our own bank and start to catalog our goods and our products and services. So what is a checking account? What's a savings account? Wealth management, whatever it is, can now be cataloged, have the pros and cons, have the information in it. So as that consumer does some research, that commerce agent now starts with the discovery process. Once you get done with discovery, you can now move them along and change it. So we'll have another agent looking at validating if there's anything open, if there's an account to be opened, start collecting that information either from a third party or from them. But one of the things that it definitely it materially changes is we no longer have to fit our account process into our back-end systems. We can now make our back-end systems conform to any systems the customer is using, whether that's a corporation or retail, which means that we can now be much more flexible in how we either open accounts or as we allow commerce to happen. And it may be from an agent to an agent. So if I have an agent, the consumer has an agent, well, great. Now we can exchange information that their agent can be authorized to provide their driver's license number, et cetera. We can now open an account and move on from there. And it ends the same with payments. So one of the things we're dealing with is trust. Trust is one of the big items of how do you trust an agent and who actually owns an agent. And any payment nerd type of conversation that happens in cocktail lounges is usually under who owns an agent and who kicks off the agent and what happens if things go sideways and you have liability there. That all has yet to be written. It is yet to be written into the case law, but we're trying to find that out. And as we experiment our way to find out, it's an interesting notion right now. The default mechanism is you, the consumer, or you, the business, own that agent and have some liability for what that agent does. Once we solve that problem, we continue to see the next step up in terms of agentic commerce. We also see a variety of attributes that we couldn't do before as we reduce friction, meaning that we can do things in multi-step processes that we couldn't do heretofore. For example, if you come in and you're a property management company, we have an agent that uploads the documents, your lease agreement or rent agreement, reads that, now structures a smart contract to enable payment, goes to the renter, gets the renter's authorization to debit the security deposit, get their okay to do a monthly pull of the payment. If they want to pay by credit card, they can pay by credit card. If they want to pay walking into a branch with cash, they can do that. If they want to pay ACH or if they want to pay with a deposit token, they can now do that. That money is collected, goes to the management company. The management company gets their cut of that. That payment then automatically goes on to the property owner. That property owner can now take its cut, and now some of that payment can be reserved or go on to the bank to make their payment. What that does is reduce our credit risk as we make a loan to that property owner for that office building, for that apartment building, for that Airbnb, for that residential house, whatever it is. And we've just eliminated a bunch of steps in between, removing friction. That was not available, all via smart contract, all on the blockchain, immutable blockchain, and all enabled by agents along the way. What we see is a bank playing a more central role versus a fintech, or at least enabled by fintech partnerships, to allow our commercial customers to move from this analog process of how they sell now to a more agentic process. As we create agents to bring on that funeral home, that dry cleaner, that grocery store, we can help them both become discoverable in their products and services, recognized or moved through the sales funnel throughout the payment process, and then enable both the payment and the follow-up and the onboarding of that customer across the board. That, in a nutshell, is how we see the rise of commerce, the rise of agentic payments, and the rise of tokenization, all in a confluence of events supporting the economy in a frictionless world. That is a story in a nutshell. Questions? Thoughts? Sorry, can't see you. Hit me. Well, South State is one of the largest correspondent banks, so the tokenization that I talked about, the deposit tokens or the stablecoin that we talked about, as we settle and clear for our customers, it's easy enough. We charge about $5,000 a year to come on and do a test pilot program to see if it works out. So it's getting easier, not harder, particularly with the rise of agentic applications. So if you need to open an account, we can now do that on chain, pass you all the information if you're a smaller financial institution. So the answer is yes, but the answer is agentic capabilities make it easier than ever for a small bank to quickly adapt. Before, you'd need a bunch of developers either as a third party or on staff to handle integrations. Now, most of the applications that are being developed now in present day, almost vibe coded to have connections right to your core system or to your online banking platform or to your commerce platform. So there will be a haves and haves not. I do see a world of greater consolidation out ahead as technology bypasses some smaller community banks and smaller credit unions. But those that have the creativity and the will to keep up, it's easier than ever. We've dropped to where bandwidth is practically free, compute is getting much cheaper, and the capabilities of having a developer on staff is much less of a need than going forward. Yeah, part of the beauty right now, or part of the problem right now, as you correctly pointed out, is there's a bunch of agentic payment protocols across the board. I'm not sure which one's going to win. We're trying to be somewhat agnostic to all of them. Stripe is obviously a big influence in the marketplace. So I don't know the answer to that question. I liken it to, you know, HTTP protocols back in the dawn of the internet. And we'll consolidate it just as we consolidated away from, you know, a Betamax cartridge, as well. So remains to be seen, but we need to solve that problem. And I think, the market will solve that problem quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
My perspective is that the market will drive it down, that there'll be a need to provide greater compute, there'll be more efficiencies in how we use that compute, and over time that will be driven to a commodity-like pricing. So that is no longer, you know, if we look at where we were, where I had to move a server to a server rack on premises, to manage an application, to now where we can spin up an application, SaaS-based, in, you know, days, seconds, weeks, hours, whatever it is, to where we are now where I can access compute from a variety of sources, it's fairly inexpensive and getting cheaper. So I believe nothing but the market forces will drive down the price for us. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you'll see humans control it to start. I think that's the big debate, is how much agency do you give your agent, so to speak, and how much leeway you give them on payments. I think the next evolution is, while we validate an agent with a human, it's just a matter of time before we're validating agents on a standalone basis as agents create other agents. And in the right circumstance, that may be allowable. But what the beauty of the stablecoin is, I can give an account to a non-human and give them the ability to, you know, make money or spend money to that extent. One thing that we have now that we didn't have is, as I create a deposit token, I could put, or a stablecoin, I can now, with a smart contract, put all sorts of fence guardrails around that. So if I want to give my agent access to a wallet that only can spend $5 on content in the morning and it collects news for me, I can do that. If I want to give one of my employees just the ability to purchase gas or electrical charges for the fleet, I can do that. And so that control is something that we don't have now as a bank and for our customers, and it's something that I think in the next 3 to 5 years we'll have. Great questions. Thank you very much. My time's done. I appreciate it.